Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Perhaps you've been to a concert or special event and said, "Wow, that was anointed or inspired." Some say Handel's Messiah was anointed or inspired by God. Several of the most famous speeches ever given have been called anointed or inspired, such as the Gettysburg Address or Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. But what would it be like if a person was anointed by God? This week, we're going to look very closely at one of the most powerful statements written in human history. You'll find it in the Old Testament of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. Today, just the first phrase, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." As you know, Isaiah was the name of a remarkable man who lived in Israel and spoke the words he received from God for the people of Israel. He spoke God's word for both the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom Judah during the closing years of the northern kingdom before it was invaded and conquered by the Assyrian Empire, but also during the time of four kings in Jerusalem: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. You'll see that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. Isaiah likely spoke and wrote from about 750 BC to about 690 BC or so. This was a unique, tumultuous, eventful, memorable time in the story of God's chosen people, the people of Israel. One chapter captures the final demise of the northern kingdom Israel. That's 2 Kings 16. It's graphic, and you may need a handkerchief to wipe your eyes as you read what is described. My friends, did your parents try to warn you of life dangers when you were a child? Dangers like railroad tracks or automobile roadways or forests or ocean riptides or even hot stovetops or bonfires. And what did you do with those warnings, my friends? And what about the warnings of friendships with people of bad character or people caught up in addictions? What did you do with those warnings? Sadly, for God, His warnings, generation after generation, have largely been ignored by His people and the world in general, both now and all the way back to 2,600 years ago in the days of Isaiah. As you look around your part of the world and compare it to a generation or two ago, you probably see dramatic decline has been happening in morality and social stability. Are you fascinated by history, my friends? How well do you know the story of where you live, your city, your region, your nation, your continent, going back several hundred years? Israel has one of the most fascinating histories of any people in the world, and the Bible chronicles it well, in great detail. The historical period of the prophet Isaiah, at least for Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah, is found in 2 Chronicles chapters 26 through 32. By the time we arrive in Isaiah chapter 60, 61, and 62, Isaiah is now an old man. And the devastation of the northern kingdom has already occurred, and God has now turned His warning attention on Jerusalem. But they too seem to have their ears closed to God's voice. Disaster will come to Jerusalem, but after Isaiah's life is over. But God wanted His people to know that He was looking much further down the future timeline of human history, to a time of renewal and restoration for Jerusalem. Yes, Jerusalem would be totally destroyed in 586 BC by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, and again in 70 AD by the Roman army. But there would be times of bounty and blessing in God's future for Jerusalem. In truth, this too has already happened several times in Israel. It happened around 520 BC when exiled Jews were permitted to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their great city and the great temple. It happened spiritually in the first century when God came and lived among us in the person of Jesus there in Jerusalem. It happened again in 1948 as Jews were given some of their ancient homeland and given permission to name it Israel once again. And it's happening in our day, as Israel is again being restored miraculously by God. As we saw yesterday, Jesus quoted Isaiah 61:1 when He read the Isaiah scroll in the Nazareth synagogue, as Luke records in Luke chapter 4. And we know Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, as God incarnate He did do all the things mentioned in Isaiah 61, 1-3 during his ministry years. But today, I'd like to ask you this very important question. Is it possible that God is fulfilling Isaiah 61, 1 today in Israel, but also where you live, wherever you live in our world in September 2020? Now think about this, my friends. Think about the implications of this profound prophetic statement of Isaiah made 2,700 years ago. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. This statement was true of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the prophets. It was true of Jesus and all the apostles. But what about anyone else, then or now? Let me ask you, what is the relationship between this Isaiah 61:1 prophecy and what Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room the night before he was crucified? The disciple John records that Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." John 14. Now, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit Jesus was speaking of, is exactly the same Spirit of the Sovereign Lord which Isaiah was speaking of. They are one and the same. Do you get that, my friends? And the people of Israel knew that God had repeatedly sent his Holy Spirit upon his people at special times for a special anointing of wisdom or power. Gideon was anointed miraculously by the Holy Spirit, and you'll see it in Judges chapter 6, verse 34, at a time of great national crisis, remember? As Samuel anointed King Saul to be Israel's first human king, 1 Samuel 10, 6 and 10 says, "The Spirit of God came upon Saul in power." As Samuel anointed David to be Israel's second king, 1 Samuel 16, 13 says, "From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord came upon little-known people like a man named Azariah, the son of Mr. Oded, as we see in 2 Chronicles 15:1. When anointed by God's Spirit, this man, Azariah, walked right up to King Asa and gave him a strong message that he had received from God. So, friends, let's understand that the people who heard Isaiah say the words of Isaiah 61:1 would have understood that on rare occasions, God did, in fact, send his Spirit upon a person for a specific task in a specific situation. And when Jesus said it to his disciples, these good Jewish men were, I'm quite sure, awed to think that it might happen to them someday. But do you remember Jesus said it again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Just before ascending to heaven, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then it happened 10 days later, as they were all together, 120 of these followers of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit of the Sovereign Lord came upon them. Acts 2, 1-12 describes this remarkable, life-transforming, church-launching event. It sounded like a violent wind blowing into the house where they were gathered, and they saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit of God and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit empowered them. Do you remember what Acts chapter 2 tells us happened next? I invite you to read that entire chapter and be amazed and perplexed as they were. Simple folks spoke the wonderful story of Jesus Christ in languages they had never learned. And people who had come to Jerusalem from places all across the Roman Empire for the Pentecost festival heard languages, those languages spoken, and they heard the gospel of Jesus in their own mother tongue, spoken by people who didn't know the language they were speaking. That is the power of God unleashed through the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, which had come upon normal, Jesus-loving, Jesus-following people. That is Isaiah 61:1 happening in the lives of normal, everyday folks, transformed by their relationship with Jesus. And as you may know, friends, it happened again in Acts chapter 10 as Gentiles gathered in the home of the Roman soldier Cornelius, and they heard the gospel and trusted it, as told to them by Peter the Apostle, who had been with Jesus, and the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord came upon them in the same way. Now, friends, are you ready for this? And it has happened day after day in hundreds of millions of people who have trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation and are authentically born again all around the world. When this miracle of regeneration, born again, takes place, then the miracle of Isaiah 61:1 takes place, as the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord comes upon new believers and He takes up residence within them. Now think about the implications and the magnitude and the miracle of that. Has it happened in your life? Now tomorrow we'll continue to look at this Isaiah 61 and understand what should happen next. For today, just thank Him. Thank Jesus that what He promised is real and powerful and true, and it's for you and me and every Jesus follower in the world today.